when the Reform Jews realized how successful Hirsch was, 2,000 Jews were dominating Hirsch's shul. The Reform community said, we learned our lesson, and we don't want a separatist kehillah, we want a united Jewish community. We will take money from our kehillah, the official kehillah of Frankfurt, and we will build an Orthodox shul. We'll do whatever you tell us. We'll build a mechitza as high as you want it. We'll hire a rabbi with whatever qualities and qualifications you want for the rabbi. You determine. But we want to have an Orthodox kehillah as part of the community. Of course, Hirsch said it's also. Hirsch would have nothing to do with the Reform community. But many other Jews in Frankfurt, already told you, two-thirds of Hirsch's own community weren't too happy about separating from the old kehillah. Many other Jews felt very strongly that if the main community was willing now to build an Orthodox shul, and was willing to hire an Orthodox rabbi, and allow you to designate when you paid money to the main kehillah that none of that money would go for reform shuls and so on. It would only go for supporting the old age home or kosher institutions and so on. Many Jews thought that was a wiser way to go. And so in 1882, the official kehillah of Frankfurt built an Orthodox shul. And that Orthodox shul was built right next to the cemetery, as I just told you, across from the cemetery, right around the corner from Hirsch's shul, and that was known as the Bornplatz Synagogue. They hired a great Talmud Chacham, the Talmud of Israel Hildesheimer, and he was the author of Shavs and Tshuvas, Mate Levi, Rav Mordechai Halevi Horowitz, became rabbi in 1882. And pass around a photograph of the Bornplatz shul. This is the Gemeinde of Frankfurt, which thrived from 1882 until Kristallnacht, November 9th, November 10th, 1938, when all shuls in Germany were destroyed, burnt down by the Nazis. That shul was destroyed by the Nazis. That was the shul, the Gemeinde shul, as well as Hirsch's shul was also destroyed in 1938. All shuls were destroyed by the Nazis, never to be rebuilt again here in Frankfurt. Okay. Oh, very. They worked together to save Orthodoxy. Hirsch produced 1939. There were 233,000 Jews in Lodz. 1793 to 1939. That growth rate is absolutely incredible. I don't think it's paralleled anywhere in Jewish history.
Started with 12, you said.
11 June 1793. It wasn't the Raven Lodge before the 19th century. Anyway, Lodz was the second largest Jewish populated city in all of Poland, next to Warsaw. The phenomenal growth of Lodz was...
Mike's not working.
All right, we can wait till we get the lodge and we'll... Okay, I'm going to try again and we'll see what happens.
Can you hear back there?
Good. Okay. I'll speak a little more loudly. At least I'll try to do that. Lodz was a boom town, and it became a boom town in the 19th century. It was the textile industry that made Lodz what it is. And Jews poured into Lodz. There were Gentiles who ran cotton mills. And Jews did the same. They were very successful. It was the major center for textiles in Poland and became a major center actually in the world. And it became a boom town. Jews who were not making a living anywhere else in Poland, which was almost everywhere, made their way to Lodz. Lodz was a place where you could find a job in the factories, for starters. And this continued even after World War I, when Lodz had a tremendous setback. The Germans